Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, in an article that I recently read out on what's called the Christian Institute, this particular news site comes out of the UK. It's at www.christian.org.uk. And on their site, they had this article headline listed out there, caught my attention. It says, "Staggering sum of Britain's gambling losses revealed." I was driving down the road and listening to the radio the other day, and I heard one of the news commentators. I think it might have been, I don't know if it was a local, I think it was a local news. But he was talking about then that in the middle of the news broadcast, he had talked about that what the lottery was currently at, and said, so, you know, you need to get out there and get your ticket and buy your lottery ticket. Well, got me wondering about this particular subject then about gambling. In this article out of the UK that says staggering sum of Britain's gambling losses revealed, the article says this, Britons lost £12.6 billion gambling last year. £12.6 billion gambling last year, according to new data by the Gambling Commission. The figure is equivalent to almost £300 for every adult in the country. Controversial fixed odds betting terminals, that's fixed odds betting terminals called FOBTs, are also wreak their highest financial toll to date, with gamblers losing a record $1.7 billion, or pounds in this case. The article says a crackdown is needed. The unchecked expansion of gambling industry in recent years has led to calls for a crackdown, with opponents citing the rise of mental health problems, family breakdown and crime. GameCare, G-A-M-C-A-R-E, GameCare, a charity which helps people with gambling problems, has seen a 20% increase in calls to its helpline over the last 5 years. Divorce Online, a site which logs uncontested divorce petitions, has revealed that gambling is cited in 1 in 5 petitions as a reason for the dissolution of marriages, the breakup of the marriage. And last year, the Metropolitan Police recorded an 11% rise in violent incidences related to bookmakers. So it talks about lives being ruined in this article. It says the proliferations of the of these FOBTs, known as the crack cocaine of gambling, has been considered particularly harmful, especially as they are concentrated in deprived areas. They're probably consecrated there too, but they're certainly concentrated there. FOBTs allow gamblers to bet up to £100 every 20 seconds on games such as roulette and blackjack, ruining lives and livelihoods within minutes. So, you know, whole bag of money is used up here in just a couple of minutes as they go through these things. Earlier this year, an investigation by the Times highlighted alarming personal stories of people affected by these machines. Speaking about his experiences, Joseph said that when he was 21, he had debts of £12,000, and it rose up to £25,000 by the time he was 25 years old. He is now striving to pay back a debt which will tie him down for the next 5 years, I'd say at least, in order to pay that back. He said he got hooked on the FOBT machines instantly, which led to a life of misery any of ruined relationships with friends and family. Carl told The Guardian that he once had to walk 5 miles home because he lost all of his money on the FOBTs. That's the least of the problems, I would say that. But he goes on to say this, quote, "You get lost in your own little world, and you have tunnel vision. Nothing matters, only the next spin and whatever those consequences will be," he said. The Times investigation also found that they have started prescribing drugs to some of the worst addicts of this. Well, I don't think that's going to help the problem much at all, but the Cabinet Office blocked a review of the machines last year, and in 2015, the FOBT raised $425 million for the Treasury through taxation. So the government-sponsored gambling is what's taking place here, right? They say, hey, we can make some more revenue. There's money to be made here in this gambling. But what they seem to be leaving out of that entire equation is the tremendous cost that this has upon lives and families and society as a whole. And this was out of the UK that I was reading here, but, you know, the gambling here in the United States has been a nationwide explosion of the gambling in our areas as well of the United States. It is part, I would say, an underrated dimension of America's moral crisis that we're seeing here. At the, you know, this expansion of state lotteries, now casinos, and this casino gambling is now becoming big business across the United States as well. The laws prohibiting those things, and where they had basically relegated them to certain areas, unfortunately, like on Indian reservations and things like that, which certainly didn't help their situation any at all, but they are loosening up on those regulations now, and so they can fit these gambling casinos in at other places. New technology is now adding to this as well, and the gambling industry really, I think it's poised to grow even exponentially over the next period of time. Hey, one of the presidential candidates this year, right, Donald Trump, he made most of his millions, or some would say billions, in the gambling industry. So according to some estimates, and I read this in an article by Albert Mohler, he said as much as one-third of the nation's money supply now moves through the gambling industry each year. Think about that. One-third of the nation's money supply. And looking at recent annual economic report, management consultants determined that Americans spent more on gambling than they did on health insurance, on dentists, on shoes, on foreign travel, or on household appliances. Can you believe that? Now, what does the Bible have to say about this particular area? You know, some people say, well, you know, the Bible is silent on this subject. It doesn't really say anything about gambling. It's just a harmless activity and an entertainment that I take part in. And so what's the big deal? You know, it's just giving preachers like myself something more to harp on. Well, I would say that that's not really the case, if that's the way that you think about this. I think that, you know, the entire enterprise of gambling is opposed to the moral teaching that is revealed to us in God's Word. You know, the basic impulse behind gambling is greed. That's the basic thought, you know. Get rich quick type of mentality is what we see here behind the subject of gambling. So greed is back behind that, right? And I think that the greed that is there is a basic sin that is the mother of other sins, many other sins that are committed. Because associated with greed are things like envy and covetousness, right? Which the scripture certainly talks about. and warns us against, right? So we have the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, right? So this covetousness, I want something that I don't have, and I'm willing to obtain it by these unethical means of getting this thing. So there's a dissatisfaction with who we are and with the providence of God in our own life. And then there is this covetousness and envy to go out and get what I want in any means that we can, even if it's this means here that has so many negative elements associated with it. And so and those types of thoughts are always presented in the scripture as a sin against what God has told us. And it's oftentimes it's accompanied with graphic warnings about what will take place if you have this type of a passion for this world's goods without having any sort of preventative moral compass to go along with it. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, and in verse 10, he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, make sure you get a crack, because it's one of the most misquoted verses in all the Bible. He does not say that money is the root of all evil. I think some of the people in, like, Occupy Wall Street and some of these people that are against capitalism and so forth, they misquote this verse all the time, and they say money is the root. No, it doesn't. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a world of difference between money being the root of all evil and the love of money being the root of all evil. I would say this, that it's been my experience that most of the time, the people who commit the sin of the love of money are people who don't have money. They're people who have bought into the notion that money will solve their problems, and if they just had more money, that money would alleviate all the difficulties that they have in this life. And so they have a love of money, although they may not have the money itself. I remember in New York many years ago, as they were introducing the lottery, they used a slogan that played off of this. You know, it said this, a dollar and a dream, a dollar and a dream. So they would play upon people, you know, and their desire for these get-rich-quick schemes, that imagine what you could do if you win this lottery, if you win this money. And so people, they would go around and interview people. What would you do if you won the lottery? Would you quit your job? Well, I started to compile stories of people that had actually won the lottery to see what they said afterwards, after they would win. And almost to a person, people would say, one guy said it very plainly this way. He said that he cursed the day that he had ever played that lottery. He played the lottery, and he was already wealthy, but the wealth that he had wasn't enough. So he went out and he bought something ridiculous, like 1,000 tickets or something, right? And so he knew he was upping his chances of winning the lottery and so forth. So he went out and bought these tickets, and sure enough, he won the lottery, and so he won, multiple millions of dollars in the lottery and so forth. And then he started having people come out of the woodwork, cousins and aunts and uncles and distant relatives and all of them who wanted something from him. In fact, were demanding from him that they go ahead and that he should go ahead and buy them cars, that he should buy them homes. And why shouldn't he? They reasoned, because they said, you know, that you have enough money to do it. It wouldn't impact you at all. Why don't you just go ahead and buy me a new car? And so the people then were demanding that he go ahead and do this. Additionally, then he was getting a number of people that were around him. He couldn't tell why they were around him. Were they there because they were interested in his friendship and they, you know, appreciated him as a person? Or were they there in order to just, you know, see what they could get for free and so forth that was there. You know, the entire scripture, I'm saying, and the tenor of the scripture speaks against this type of thing. And when you look at the Proverbs in the Old Testament scripture, it speaks about, you know, working hard and applying yourself and working with your hands, and that you can obtain economic prosperity that way. See, because you learn along the way about being able to handle the wealth that is given to you there. Why do you think so many of these young people that become these famous athletes and so forth, and then they're given these multi-million dollar contracts, and then you see, you know, something awful happens in their life. I talked to a couple of the, one of the VPs for the Orlando Magic was on the program talking with me about, you know, how do you deal with these young kids that are now multimillionaires because they can shoot a basketball? And he was talking about how difficult it is to keep them grounded and help them to focus and to think about their life apart from all this millions that they've suddenly come into. It's a very, very difficult thing. And sometimes, really, it's not a blessing. Sometimes it's an actual curse that has come into your life. You know, you got to be able to handle this kind of wealth. And very few people can. You know, they can't, they don't have the stability in their life to deal with where these riches will take them. And so very oftentimes it actually ends up ruining their life. Like this man that I quoted there that said that he won the lottery and he cursed the day that he ever won it because it had absolutely ruined his life. It ended up basically taking the life of his beloved granddaughter, who then became involved in drugs and everything because of the people that were hanging around with them and so forth, and ended up losing her life to that. So it's not the blessing that everyone thinks that it is, and it's something that preys upon the poor. You know, I worked for a company that made lottery tickets. I worked for a printing company, and one of the, in New York when I was young, and in the warehouse. And one of their clients was New York State, and we printed the lottery tickets on the big, you know, offset presses and so forth. Let me just tell you this. We printed the losers for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. We printed the pallet upon pallet upon pallet loaded with the losers, the losing tickets in the New York State lotteries. They were on big sheets of paper, you know, like almost like a probably 4x4 sheet of paper that they were printed on. And then so those were all the losers. And then one day we printed the winners. They would bring in security forces and so forth. They would line the offset presses with the security forces. And then they would print off the winners would be printed. And then they would take both the losers and the winners off-site, and they would cut them up on big big cutters, and they would collate it all together. They would mix it all up in a pile, right? And then that mixed pile was then given out to people. Now, somebody said this. Somebody said that your chances of winning were that if you took Dixie cups, remember those little Dixie cups, you know, that you'd have, the little tiny little water cup, and you were to take those water cups and you were to line them side by side on 3 football fields, so 300 yards and by the width of the football field, 3 of those long, a side-by-side Dixie cup. And then you were to go up into a helicopter and you were to take a ping pong ball and throw it out of the helicopter. If it landed in your cup, that were the odds of you winning the New York State lottery during that time. You see what I'm saying? This is designed for you to lose, my friend. It's a money-making scheme. And unfortunately, the ones that it plays upon the most are the poor, the people who don't have the money. And so they're looking for a way out of this poverty, thinking then that this get-rich-quick scheme that is being promoted by our government is something to get up. It's not. It's going to end in sadness and heartache for many, many, many people. And even the ones who win, it's probably going to be an even greater hardship than that. Gene, I'm sorry I took my time there. May have time just for a quick comment, under a minute, okay?
Under a minute. This is an interesting topic, one of my favorite topics. I keep telling people that Jesus did not tell those of us who have money to be poor, and I remind them that it was a rich man's grave that Jesus was buried, but that's beside the point. You brought out an interesting proverb that came to mind, which is, to whom God gives wealth, riches come with no grief.
Hmm.
That's in the Proverbs.
Interesting.
And this matter of poverty is a matter of self perspective, because I know people who have little and they're very content, and
Amen.
I know those who have much and they're never happy.
Amen. I heard somebody did a survey among people at different strata of economic strata in our country, and they asked every one of them how much more money they needed in order to be happy. And the answer was, among each group, 10%. 10% more was the general topic or the general point that people made. So no matter where they were in that strata, a lot of people were discontent, and if they only had 10% more, they could truly be happy. And I've met those same people that you've talked about. I've met people that have very, very little of this world's goods, and you would never know it. They're some of the most happiest people upon the planet. And so we don't need a great amount of wealth. If God gives it to us, so be it. But we don't need it in order to be joyous and victorious as Christians in this life. Good point, Gene. Thank you so much. I wish I would have left you more time, but unfortunately I was trying to get through that couple thoughts there on this subject. But good point. Thank you. So as we're talking about here, in order to be happy, we need to be content in this life. That's really what's needed, right? And money is not going to give you that type of contentment. The only way, Augustine said it this way, he said, O Lord, our hearts are made for Thee, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Thee. That's the only way for you to be happy. In land and store I may be poor, my name obscure, my place unsure, but of this I have the witness sure, that, O Lord, bless the Lord, I have Jesus. That's all that really matters. If you're rightly related to God, you are a very, very rich man. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.